when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
From the Times and the Sunday Times, this is The Story. I'm Manveen Rana. It's an apocalyptic sight. Plumes of smoke rising up over Washington, D.C. The Lincoln Memorial on fire. The White House under attack.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Scores of fighter jets are strafing the ground. But these are American planes, and they're hitting American soil.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
It may seem like an implausible scenario, but the new film, Civil War, is doing surprisingly well across America, where in an incredibly polarized society, in the run-up to the most divisive election, many see it as a sign of things to come.
It does speak to people's fears about what could happen.
The story today is America on the brink of a new civil war.
I'm Sarah Baxter. I'm director of the Marie Colvin Center for International Reporting at Stony Brook University in New York.
Sarah, you've been covering America for years. Was there a point when you suddenly thought, you know, however divisive America has been politically for a while, something had changed and it felt like it could spill over into violence?
Yes, it was reporting during the last election in 2020. And in the run-up to that election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I was living in Pennsylvania and talking to people in very conservative, Trump-supporting areas where I found that people were armed to the teeth, reading completely different media to people, say, in New York or in Boston, and had arsenals of weapons at home and would speak in a way that seemed like they might be itching to use them.
Really?
And that was very disconcerting.
What were people saying?
Well, I remember on election day itself, I went to my polling station in Wilkes-Barre in Pennsylvania, and obviously to take the temperature of the crowd. And I spoke to a guy who was there as a Republican polling monitor. And he told me that he thought there would be civil war within 10 years in this country. And that was very disturbing.
Wow. I mean, you don't expect to hear that in the middle of an election. I remember that was the election when people were already starting to think about preparing for potential violence when the election results came through. That became very real on January the 6th. Just take us back to that moment. Where were you? Where were you watching and how did it feel?
Well, it felt incredibly disturbing. First of all, Donald Trump had said, be there, be wild. And his supporters took him at his word and converged on the Capitol.
This is now effectively a riot.
Capitol Police One advisor trying to breach and get into the Capitol.
We have a breach of the Capitol.
Where suddenly Donald Trump, who was still president of the United States, tasked really with uniting the country, that's what presidents historically are meant to do, said we're going to march on the Capitol.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections.
Although he'd used very incendiary language, because he said we've got to fight like hell to take our country back, he also was quite cautious about what he said. You'd be surprised, because it sounded very inflammatory, but he also said we're going to march peacefully down there. But the truth is that squads of his supporters, such as the Proud Boys and the Oath Keeper militias, had already decided there was going to be violence on that day. They spearheaded the assault on the Capitol. They burst through police lines, and the rest of the crowd gaily followed, pushing, kicking, and shoving police officers out of the way. There were chants of "Hang Mike Pence, the Vice President." And at one stage, looking on aghast at the live scenes unfolding on television, I really feared that a lawmaker, or maybe several, was going to get killed.
Look at this. Look at this, John King. You and I have covered Capitol Hill for a long time. A protester is sitting there on the Senate floor in the well of the U.S. Senate. John, who would have ever believed we would see anything like this?
I mean, that's shocking. When you see the seat of government in what should be the greatest democracy in the world under physical attack, how much of an impact has that had on the American psyche? Is there a sense that American democracy as we know it could unravel?
Well, yes, I believe so. Not only do you hear more of that talk about different camps, and that sense of division that I experienced during the last election has only deepened in the years since. And in fact, a lot of people are cross with President Biden because he promised to come in and unite the country. And the country is not united. But on the other hand, there are two totally different narratives that have developed since the last election. One that in 2020 that it was stolen. And Donald Trump's done a tremendous job of gaslighting Republican voters into thinking it was stolen. And he's also, in a much more divisive move, has begun to talk about what we saw with our own eyes unfolding on January 6th not being true. So now he's defending the January 6th prisoners and calling them hostages as if they're political prisoners who didn't do anything wrong except express their deep love for him as their president and their concern about the genuine fact that the election was stolen. So history is being rewritten before our very eyes, and it's very disturbing when there are two such totally separate narratives of what happened on January the 6th. There's been an attempt to make out that really people were just behaving like tourists wandering respectfully through the halls. Well, some were. Others were bashing down the doors, attacking police officers, and demanding people's heads with zip wires ready to handcuff lawmakers, sitting in the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's office, saying they were coming for her. Mike Pence, the Vice President, was under such threat that the Secret Service wanted to move him out of the Capitol, and he said no because he suspected that if he left the Capitol, he'd never be allowed back in and there would be a way of him not fulfilling his constitutional duty, as he saw it, to certify Joe Biden's election victory. So he stayed put at great risk to himself in an underground secure bunker in the Capitol. That's how bad it was. And when you have two such competing views of recent history, it's hard to see how anything but further division can come out of that.
We're going into another election. There are still, as you say, people across the country who believe the last one was stolen, who believe this alternative version of history. In the meantime, there have been other events that have almost sort of accelerated that feeling, that have really sort of cemented it.
Yes, well, on his opponents, there was an awful lot of glee. Documents were eventually discovered in his shower and all over the place at Mar-a-Lago. But actually, to his own supporters, it felt like an invasion of the state into Donald Trump's private compound at Mar-a-Lago. And it felt like a very hostile act. And whatever one might feel about the classified documents case, I mean, it looks like he was absolutely caught bang to rights, removing documents stamped top secret that he had no right to possess. But it felt like the state, which at the moment is in the hands of Democrats, launching a partisan attack on Donald Trump. Obviously, he's called it many times a witch hunt and a political persecution. And it really consolidated his base in support of him.
There could be no more vivid example of the very real threats from American freedom than we witnessed one of the most shocking abuses of power by any administration in American history. The shameful raid and break-in of my home, Mar-a-Lago, was a travesty of justice.
I mean, that will just seem quite counterintuitive to a lot of people. You'd think for any normal political career, that would be the death knell. You know, to be breaking laws, even as a president, is surely something that you'd be alarmed by. And yet it seems to consolidate his support every time.
Well, Joe Biden has been campaigning on the grounds that Donald Trump presents a unique threat to democracy, based largely on his actions on January 6th, but not exclusively on that. Mm. And within Democratic supporters, there's a lot of sympathy for that view.
Choice is clear. Donald Trump's campaign is about him, not America, not you. He's willing to sacrifice our democracy, put himself in power. He calls those who oppose him vermin. He talks about the blood of America as being poisoned, echoing the same exact language used in Nazi Germany.
But the fact is that it's very difficult for Joe Biden to make the case that he is defending democracy when Donald Trump, who got the largest number of votes of any Republican in history in 2020, is being hit with not just one legal action, but a whole series of legal actions brought by the Department of Justice, which is overseen by a Democratic appointment. So the Republican supporters of Donald Trump, and not every Republican does support Donald Trump, I should emphasize, but among his more hardline supporters, they feel it's as plain as daylight that Donald Trump is the victim of political persecution.
I suppose it seems quite surprising from afar because, you know, we look at America and think this is a place that came up with an awful lot of civil rights and the idea that everybody is equal before the law, whether they're president or not. And there's no allegation that any of the evidence against him has been fabricated. These are things he's done that he's being held to account for. And yet that's not what the American public necessarily want.
No, they want the right to vote for who they like. They don't want lawfare as a form of warfare to destroy Trump. And I have some sympathy with that. I mean, I would have liked to see just one case brought against Donald Trump, which was the one involving the attempt to stop the certification of a genuine election victory of Joe Biden. I've never had any time for nonsense that the election was stolen. Mm. But I do think that the slew of cases against him, including the one that's carrying on now, with regard to paying hush money to porn star Stormy Daniels, complicates the picture because it does look like persecution. So that's why I think this lawfare is a serious problem for Democrats and a rallying cry for Republicans.
Sarah, at a time where politics and the issues are more polarizing than ever, you then have this second layer of people who no longer have faith in the system, in the institutions. They think an election has been stolen. They think Donald Trump is the victim of all of these cases against him as an anti-democratic move, as opposed to him being held to account. At a time like that, when America seems so divided, as somebody who lives there, is that something that you sort of see in everyday life? Do you get the sense that the country could end up in a situation of civil war?
There is a drumbeat of political violence in the air. We saw that with the attack on the former Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, who was hit with a hammer at his home in California by somebody who wanted to send a message to his wife, the Speaker. And we've seen Donald Trump laugh about the incident at rallies. There's a sort of coarsening.
Wow.
Of public affairs in that way. The idea that it's all right to rough up your opponents. And of course, you know, we've talked about these dividing lines and lawfare against Donald Trump. Well, if he wins, which is not implausible, we know that he's going to bring lawfare against his opponents, start persecuting them, say, well, they did it to me. So we're in a dangerous situation where civil war is not imminent, but a lot of scholars who have studied the conditions that lead to armed violence are in that pre-existing state.
And for you, is there also just the risk of something spilling out into violence, partly because of just the preponderance of firearms around you?
Yes, well, America has nearly 400 million firearms. That's astonishing. It has more firearms in people's hands than any other country in the world. And it's protected by the Constitution under the Second Amendment. And I read a statistic the other day, which at first really shocked me, which was that one in three Americans knew somebody who'd been shot. And then I realized that I knew six Americans who'd been shot.
Really? Just ordinary people?
Yes. So the first person that I know to have been shot was somebody who sent me my first ever Valentine's card when I was 8 in Alabama.
Oh, Sarah.
So at the age of 11, he was killed in an accident by his brother, by a gun at home.
And awful.
It was awful. But I later heard from an old school friend in Alabama, because I lived there in the late 60s, that the brother went on to become a big gun and hunting rights advocate.
Despite his early experience?
Despite having killed his brother with a firearm. I guess he was seeking to justify it as purely accidental. You'd think it would have made him a pacifist, but it didn't. The second person I know to have died killed somebody else as well. This was the friendly lollipop man who was the policeman at my children's school in Washington, D.C. Because he was a policeman in the grounds of the National Cathedral, a national monument, he was armed. He got into a relationship with a first grade teacher, and when she tried to leave him, he shot her. And he died in a hail of bullets from his police colleagues.
It does just give you a sense of how weirdly normal it is in America.
Yes,
very normal. For people to have guns, but also to use them.
Yes, because they're there. That's what worries me about this vast arsenal. Because if there is any hint of a breakdown in society, people will be tempted to turn to weapons.
Coming up, what would a new civil war in America actually look like? We hear from Barbara F. Walter, the expert who's been advising the CIA on civil wars.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit YahooFinance.com, the number one financial destination, YahooFinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My name's Barbara Walter. I'm the Rohr Professor of International Affairs at the School of Global Policy and Strategy at the University of California in San Diego.
Barbara, nobody wants to talk about the idea of a civil war in America. How hard is it for you, as somebody who specializes in civil war, to make people take it seriously?
It was really hard till January 6, 2021, and then it was really easy. And I remember that day I was at home and my email just blew up and everybody's asking me, what's going on? What do you think? And how do you feel? People are asking me, aren't you terrified? And I actually felt a sense of relief that really? This was happening, that it was happening so publicly and that it was happening in a way that so clearly showed Americans what has been growing behind the scenes here for years. So for people who study domestic terror, who study civil wars, we have known about this growing far-right threat since at least 2008. We know that the number of militias in the United States had been growing. So when January 6th happened and you had all of these, you know, mostly white men, you know, walking down the middle of the mall in central Washington, D.C., taking videos of themselves and showing the whole world exactly what was out there, I felt relief because I felt, geez, finally, America's going to have to pay attention. I started studying civil wars in 1990. So I've been studying civil wars for a very long time. And then in 2017, I was invited to serve on a task force run by the U.S. government called the Political Instability Task Force. One of the goals of that task force was to help the U.S. government predict what countries around the world were likely to experience political instability and political violence within the next 2 years. It turns out that only two factors were highly predictive. The first factor was this thing called anocracy. That's just a fancy term for a partial democracy. It's a weak democracy. It has some elements of democracy, but some elements of autocracy. And the second factor was whether the citizens of that country had organized themselves politically around race, ethnicity, or religion as opposed to ideology. And these two features had been emerging in the United States over the last few years, and they were actually emerging at a fairly rapid rate.
So, Barbara, in the American context, what do you think would spark a civil war, and how do you think it would play out? What would a civil war in America now look like?
So we actually know a lot about who tends to start civil wars. They're not started by the groups that most people would think. They're not started by the poorest groups in society or the groups that are heavily discriminated against. They certainly aren't started by immigrants. The ethnic civil wars that we tend to see around the world tend to be started by the groups that had once been politically dominant but are in decline. Those are the groups that not only are deeply resentful of their loss of power, but they have the means to do something about it. So we know it tends to be started by these groups in decline. And if you think to the American case, the U.S. is in a transition period. We are going from being a country that has been majority white and majority Christian to a country that is going to be majority non-white. And that's likely to happen by 2045. So we are in the midst of that. And in a government that's a winner-take-all majority rule government, which we are, that means that if you no longer have 50% of the vote, you lose political power. And we've been seeing that in the United States. The Republican Party, which is over 80% white here in the United States, in a country that's multi-ethnic and multi-religious, the Republican Party has not won a majority of the vote in 7 out of the 8 presidential elections. So they know they are in decline. And we're seeing subsets of the white American population, especially those who are also evangelical Christians, being deeply, deeply resentful of this change. They believe that America's identity is changing in ways that is wrong, and they feel like they are justified in doing something about it. So if civil war breaks out here in the United States, first of all, it will absolutely not look like our first civil war.
It's not an easy split across the country anymore. It's not North and South.
No, it's not going to be a secession war. It's going to be, I would call it an insurgency. It's going to be fought by multiple different militias. They're going to use unconventional military tactics like terrorism and guerrilla warfare. They are going to try desperately to avoid engaging the American military, which is incredibly powerful. So they're going to take violence to civilians. They're going to start targeting Black churches or synagogues. They're going to try to assassinate judges who they believe are hostile to their cause.
Barbara, for you, as an American, as somebody who was living through this, you know, we're in the run-up to an election now. We see America as an unpredictable at times and definitely polarized democracy, but still a democracy with institutions and a constitution. How seriously do you think civil war is coming to America?
I can imagine us having a civil war sometime down the road, but it wouldn't happen immediately. It would grow over time. So on the one hand, that's kind of shocking that America needs to clean up its house. It needs to strengthen its democracy. Its political parties need to start reaching across racial and ethnic lines and religious lines, because that's the country that we are. And there is time, but we can't just keep kicking the can down the road and think we're going to muddle through.
How worried are you about what'll happen after this election?
I'm worried. I think America is facing 10 to 20 years of real instability, that, you know, we have a subset of the population that is used to having privileges and power, and they are losing that, and they will lose it. And they're not going to go down without some sort of fight. So I think we are in this transition, and it's going to be rocky.
So I'm not dismissing all these fears, but I think what we're also seeing at the moment is disturbing. It's not about violence, but it's about an assortment taking place, a division of America. I already have friends who have been living in Austin, Texas, a liberal enclave, who have left the state for upstate New York because they just don't want to live in Texas anymore. They feel like it does not represent their values anymore. I've grown up as someone who believed in a pluribus unum, out of many, one. That's what America, the United States of America, has always stood for.
It's American society.
Yes.
The coming together of all these separate parts.
Exactly. But what's happening now is that these separate parts are beginning to dissolve.
That was Sarah Baxter and Barbara F. Walter. You can read more of Sarah's coverage from America at thetimes.co.uk, and Barbara's book, How Civil Wars Start and How to Stop Them, can be ordered online. The producer today was Edith Russolo. The executive producer was Fiona Leach, and sound design was by Tom Burchell. If you can, please do leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. See you again tomorrow.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.